People are surprised at how friendly everybody is, how funky it is.
Whenever we talk about Houston, it's no longer like oil, money, and cowboys. We don't all just wear cowboy boots, except for the rodeo.
I find new things every day that surprise me. I think that's the beauty of where we're at in this city, is that it's always evolving and changing.
This is a city where change is a constant, but the classics endure. This is Houston. My name is Minya Oh. I'm also known as Miss Info. As a journalist, I cover fashion, music, and food. This is The Special, a podcast series where we get to know a city by learning how it started out, how it's evolved, and how its communities, restaurants, and art scenes have made it what it is today. Inspired by BMW's first ever X7, The Special is a new collaboration between two expert storytellers, New York Times T-Brand Studio and The Infatuation. Together, we're going to examine culture and food in a way that only we can. Texas is a state where big is king. And Houston is its largest city, located in the south by the Gulf of Mexico. It's a place that's seen a lot of change in the last few decades. Some of that change came from within the city itself, some from the other side of the world, and some from outside our world completely. Mix it all in with some Texan traditions, and you have a city that is constantly reinventing itself, but with an appreciation for the authentic classics in food, architecture, and fashion. Today, we'll meet a number of people whose stories are 100% Houston in every way. A family whose Vietnamese restaurant has been the heart of the community for over 40 years. A chef who's embracing all the flavors the city has to offer, both old and new. A tailor whose family has dressed generations of Texans. And a historian who has traced Houston's roots. After we've visited their favorite parts of the city, our guests will all sit down at Mai's restaurant and share a meal inspired by the city. Think of it as Houston on a plate, right here on The Special. When the Vietnam War caused tens of thousands of refugees to look for a safe place to live, Texas was one of the first places in the U.S. where they relocated in the 1970s. The climate and the fishing industry felt familiar for many of the newcomers, and so they stayed and brought friends and family to join them in the generations that followed. Now, about 80,000 people of Vietnamese descent live and work in Houston, changing its culture and especially its cuisine.
Hi, I'm Anna Pham. I am the general manager at Mai's restaurant. I'm driving in lovely Houston. We're headed to Thanh Binh Market. That's actually where we get a bulk of our poultry from.
Anna's family was part of the wave of refugees that arrived in Houston at the end of the Vietnam War, escaping the new communist regime. Her grandparents opened the restaurant in 1978 and named it after their daughter, Mai. These days, Mai does the cooking while her daughter, Anna, runs the business side of the restaurant. They both agree that sticking with the classics of Vietnamese cooking is the secret to success for the family's business.
I saw someone make a pho burrito. Have you seen that? I saw that on Instagram. It grossed me out. I love burritos. And I know we're here in Houston, like Tex-Mex is huge too. And Mai's never try to be like, oh, let's stay ahead of the trend. We're not trying to trend. We're just trying to be. And the only way you can be is you. In the end, it's the classic ones that really survive.
Today, Anna's shopping at a market her family's been coming to for decades.
So, here we are in the market. A lot of the vendors that we used are still the same vendors we've used since my grandparents first started it. And they've also passed down their businesses to the next generation. Our families have known each other all these years, and the reason why we continue to support them is because there is that connection.
We're like a family, you know.
Yeah, we are like family.
Even we do business, and after that, we're like, you know, very close, like a family, so, you know.
Yeah.
So whatever, might need something, we are always be there for them, okay?
Thank you so much, Mom.
On today's shopping list are all the ingredients for tonight's special. A Vietnamese crepe called ban xiao and catfish cooked in broth.
We're going to get fish sauce, and you'll also see it's like ketchup. Fish sauce is like the core ingredient for, I almost want to say, 100% of Vietnamese cooking. All of our stock is actually made fresh with pork bones or beef bones. So for us, it's always been no shortcuts. So that's one thing that I love, is that whenever we're eating, I'm confident to say, like, we're always serving you the same thing we would serve our family, because we really are.
Still to come, we'll hear more about Anna's family and how it's influenced Houston's dining scene for more than 40 years. But our next stop is even older than Mai's restaurant. We're going to hop into the X7 now and head 3 miles north to Buffalo Bayou Park. Today, it's on the western edge of the downtown core. But 100 years ago, it was the center of the city. Buried there is a piece of history that up until a few years ago, most people in Houston didn't even know existed.
Hi, I'm James Glassman, founder of Houstorian.
Houstorian is the name of a group working to preserve and celebrate the history of Houston as it continues to grow and change.
Every Houston kid grows up learning about the Battle of San Jacinto when Texas won its independence from Mexico in 1836. Kids also learn about when oil was discovered down the road at Spindletop, which allowed Houston to become the oil capital.
But James will tell you that Houston's evolution isn't just a story about oil. It's also about water.
Looking back in old maps of Houston, you see these really interesting communities forming along the waterways. This is before we had major roads. This is before we had major infrastructure.
James is standing at the site of a major architectural landmark in Houston's history, the Buffalo Bayou Cistern.
It's an old abandoned water tank. In the 1920s, the city of Houston built this to provide for the citizens' needs. It's 1.5 football fields in footprint, 25 feet tall. But when they built the tank, they put a bunch of earth on top of it, and it sort of blended in with the geography over there on the North Shore, Buffalo Bayou. You walk right in at street level, which is strange because it feels underground.
When it was functioning, this concrete cavern held 15 million gallons of water. It was decommissioned in 2007 when it sprung a leak that could not be repaired. But the space is so unique, the local land trust helped to restore it as an attraction and part of the surrounding park. Today, you can walk inside among the rows and rows of columns that stretch 25 feet from the cistern's floor to its ceiling.
It's so quiet down here. You can really hear your own heartbeat and hear your own thoughts. It's, you know, when you're down here, you forget that Houston's such a big, boisterous, noisy city. It's easy to forget that downtown is just a few feet away and we're surrounded by traffic and commuters and freeways. It's just, it feels like you're on another planet down here. You feel connected to the whole city. You feel connected to all the people that use this facility for their drinking water, to fight fires, to water their lawns. It's not anything that anybody in Houston is used to seeing.
Or hearing, for that matter. The size of this cistern means that the echoes you create inside last for 17 seconds. Of course, we had to get James to demonstrate.
Houston!
Houston is one of America's fastest growing cities, and while the city needed new infrastructure to support its expanding suburbs and businesses, this classic piece of 1920s industrial architecture has now taken on a new life. You can take tours of it daily, and the city also uses it for art installations and light shows. Still, James says that when most people think about Houston's history, there's another image that comes to mind first.
Every Houstonian still loves to tell the story about the first word broadcast from the surface of the moon. Houston, Tranquility Base here, the Eagle has landed. We love that story. We love it a lot more than we love Houston, we have a problem.
Later on, we'll explore the impact the space program has had on this city, and James will be back to join us for dinner. But first, we're going to meet a Houston chef who's known for taking in and loving all of the city's influences, from food to fashion. Like the city itself, Houston's restaurant scene is huge and changing fast. Our next guest has been called a game changer in the industry here.
My name's Chris Shepard. I'm the chef owner of Underbelly Hospitality, which is a group of restaurants here in Houston.
Chris's restaurants elevated the steakhouse to an art form. And in Texas cattle country, that's saying something. He's also well known for incorporating new flavors into his menu, inspired by all of the places that he eats around town. He even gives his patrons a diner's map of authentic Houston eateries that they should try. At Chris's restaurants, you can order Vietnamese short ribs, Nuoc Mam shrimp, and Banh Hoi noodles, because one of the places that he's taken inspiration from is Mai's restaurant.
I think Mai's really did it for me personally, because it was like 98, 99. You know, they stayed open until 4 a.m. So that's where we would go over as cooks, and that's where I started to learn about Vietnamese food, and you would see all cultures in there.
There are two things Chris likes to do when he has visitors from out of town. One is to take them out for Vietnamese food. So it makes sense that he'll join us for the special tonight at Mai's. But right now, he's showing us the second place that he takes people when they come to visit. His tailor. That's right, the guy who makes his shirts. Hamilton Shirts is a family tailor shop that dates all the way back to 1883.
Chris, let's get something new. We got lots of things that I think you will like.
I really like this one.
Are you just adventurous? Are you doing prints or not so much?
I like that.
That's David Hamilton, the fifth generation Hamilton to run this store. His family has been dressing the men of Houston for 130 years, making classic custom dress shirts in the sewing room behind his shop. David says there's an element of Houston style that has helped his family business stay ahead of the curve, even in the ever-changing fashion industry.
I think Houston style, probably like Houston itself, is generally more casual, which is kind of what has happened all over the United States. But 15 years ago, a lot of guys were still wearing suit and ties. Most of our clients weren't. Fashion has really changed. And we've sort of, because where we are geographically, we've been on the front of that.
Chris first found him a few years back when he needed a shirt for a special occasion, the James Beard Awards.
And this is like the Oscars for the food. I need to have something nice, you know, because like my stature and build doesn't really suit well for going to a just off the rack type thing. And it was like, you know, if I'm going to do this, I want something that's going to be me and going to be nice.
Even though cooking and clothing may seem like very different callings, these two see similarities in what they do.
There's things that you do on a day-to-day basis that most people wouldn't know. And until they see it, they'll never know it, if that makes sense. Like, how a collar is cut is the same way that how we cut a piece of fish or how we cut a vegetable. And at the end of it, it's perfect. But the process is, I think, what I love so much.
We both kind of have, you know, hospitality element to the front and also like really trying to understand the person.
And part of understanding the customer is understanding the ever-changing city that they live in.
I think the city has a way of always reinventing itself. You know, I've got a book about it and it's called Ephemeral City, and it's only just one way for a moment. Whereas I think some other cities have a more rooted sense in time. This one is always kind of progressing and changing.
I think that has to do with the cultural diversity, that aspect of the city too, of who's coming here and what's changing all the time. You know, you look at the food scene here. You look at like what you're doing here. It's awesome.
Chris will be wearing one of his tailor-made shirts when he joins us for the special tonight at Mai's restaurant. We'll check in to see how dinner is coming along in just a moment. And we'll stop at the Johnson Space Center to see how it fits into Houston's evolution as well. All that still to come on the special. Some people look at the everyday world and see just that, an everyday world. But when you decide to look at the ordinary in an extraordinary manner, everything changes. That's why we're looking at Houston through a new lens and exploring how we got here. BMW took a similar approach when designing their first ever X7. It's their biggest, boldest sport activity vehicle. If you want to see things differently, there's a panoramic moonroof and a new surround view camera with a 3D, 360-degree view. They've rethought the ordinary and made it legendary. Check it out for yourself at www.bmwusa.com/X7. Welcome back to Houston. In this episode, we're seeing how, despite the many changes the city has experienced, it still keeps a healthy respect for the classics in culture and cooking. Tonight, we're going to Mai's restaurant for dinner, the oldest Vietnamese restaurant in the city. Anna Pham grew up in this restaurant and runs the place now, with her mom, Mai, in the kitchen. The area where Mai's restaurant is located is the old Vietnamese neighborhood. It's called Midtown now.
So prior to being dubbed Midtown, this was just the outskirts of downtown, or then at one point it was Little Saigon.
That name comes from the late 70s, when tens of thousands of refugees from Vietnam settled in the area. They opened up shops, businesses, and restaurants. Anna's grandparents decided to open a pool hall and sell food. Their daughter Mai was assigned the job of cook. Her food was more popular than the billiards, so they expanded the kitchen and became a full-service restaurant. Since then, Mai's has become a gathering place for the Vietnamese community and one of Houston's most influential and long-standing restaurants overall. It's been credited with introducing many of the city's diners and chefs from all sorts of backgrounds and cultures to authentic Vietnamese cooking.
We serve classic Vietnamese dishes. So we serve, you know, everything from spring rolls, egg rolls, to a variety of different soups, rice plates, stir-fried dishes.
No matter how much the neighborhood has changed around it, Mai's is sticking to its original location and the kind of cooking that first made it stand out 40 years ago.
I think that when you taste it, and I don't think it's me being biased when I say when I eat it, there's a sense of comfort, but for me, really, Vietnamese food and the way that we prepare it here at Mai's is as classic as you can get.
There it is again, that mention of the classics. While Anna gets the restaurant ready for dinner service, we've got one more stop to make. Now, it might be hard to imagine something as cutting-edge as space travel also being called classic, but when you've got 50 years of history behind something, it's time to celebrate it for what it is. Let's hop in the X7 and head to the Johnson Space Center, about 25 miles southeast of downtown Houston. Houston was chosen as the center of NASA's manned space program decades ago, and the impact that that's had is still easy to spot. You see it in the sports stadiums, where basketball and baseball teams have space-themed names, and in Houston's official nickname, Space City. Along with the 10,000 people working to support the space missions, there's also a visitor center and a space museum. It's filled with collections of moon rocks, a full-size replica of a space shuttle, and programs to get kids interested in science at an early age.
My name is Carmina Mortolaro, and I'm the exhibit specialist here at Space Center Houston.
From the first Apollo voyage to the moon to over 130 space shuttle missions, the space program put Houston at center stage internationally. Today, the city is home base for the operations of the International Space Station and for the crews that hope to be the first to travel to Mars. That's made this city a hub for people from around the world who work in the aerospace industry and for visitors who want to learn all about it.
All the training for the astronauts and the development of their spacesuits happens right here in Houston across the street.
That's attracted engineers and scientists from around the world.
Our astronauts here are our neighbors, are part of the community. That's part of the vibrancy of the city, is all the international influences.
The Johnson Space Center is one of those places in Houston that's constantly changing. NASA's Mission Control has been based here since 1963. It's been the central hub for the space program through all of its missions.
This summer will mark the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11, which was the first Apollo mission to land on the moon. So here at Space Center Houston, of course, we're very excited about being able to share that with the world.
Keeping up with the times is a challenge in the space game. One of the most popular exhibits is a rocket that hasn't even flown its first astronaut yet.
Orion, prepare for entry protocols.
So this is the Orion simulator in the Mission Mars exhibit here at Space Center Houston. We've actually taken the audio.
We have good separation of the CM from the upper stage. Heat shield looks good.
The rockets of the future are popular, especially with the young families who visit. But what's unique to the Space Center Houston are the classics.
We have one of the largest spacesuit collections, and of course the lunar rock collection. And we're very lucky to have a Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo capsule that have been to space.
The Space Center is keeping the history of space travel alive for the people of Houston. It has a very real place in the modern, ever-changing city as well, bringing in over 1 million visitors a year and running year-round educational programs to inspire a whole new generation of space travelers. It's time for us to get back to Mai's restaurant. Dinner is almost ready. Mai's started out as a family operation, but it's grown. The kitchen staff now draws from all over Houston.
Can I get a plate for lettuce for bottle?
You'll hear Vietnamese, English, Chinese, and Spanish all being spoken at the same time. Mai and Anna now have a working grasp of all four. While Mai preps the ban xiao and the catfish, Anna works on the sauce.
So we were talking about the fish sauce being prepared in different ways. Everybody has their way. Nobody's fish sauce is better than the others, except I think Mai's fish sauce is the best, hands down. Trust me, this is addicting. This off. This one.
Tonight's guests have arrived.
Yes, of course. We're going to find it for you. Hi, Chris.
Hello, how are you?
Chris Shepherd, the chef we met earlier, is a longtime customer and friend of mine.
Nice to see you again. I'm going to have Mai come out. She's excited to see you.
Yeah? Haven't seen her in a long time.
Yeah.
Well, Anna's mother, Mai, the cooking genius of the restaurant, is also joining the table. Yeah.
Hello there, how are you? I haven't seen you so long.
I know, it's been a long time.
When was the last time you've been here?
I was here about 3 months ago.
James Glassman, the Houston history blogger, is also here.
Oh yeah, Mai's is a legendary joint, especially if you were in Houston in the 90s. This was a favorite after-hours place.
Tonight's special is a combination of two dishes that Mai has made. The first comes in a giant clay pot and features a fish that her parents cooked in Vietnam. That's also a staple in this part of the country.
If I could choose one dish that I felt like brought out all the flavors of Vietnam, it would actually be the pairing of the catfish and the clay pot together with the ganh chua, which is our Vietnamese hot and sour soup. Nice rich broth, again, the nice herbs. It's topped with cumin mint, a little bit of fried onion.
So fantastic.
That's catfish I'm eating?
Uh-huh.
This is catfish.
Wow.
This is catfish.
I wouldn't have guessed it.
Oh, that's wonderful. I've never had that dish before.
I've had it pork and beef versions, but this is the first time I've ever had it on a catfish scale. And it was absolutely fantastic. And the hot and sour soup, the first time too. So I know what to order more now.
There are more than 100 dishes on the menu at Mai's, but none of her recipes are written down.
I don't do no writing. I'm old school.
I know, me too. Writing a book is probably one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Recipe cards? You haven't
no,
written anywhere?
No, none.
It's all here.
It's in here. Oh. I walk around, I do a lot of cooking.
We gotta back up that file somewhere.
Right.
You know what? She doesn't even share with me.
I know.
I don't know, does she share that with y'all? I don't know anything. And that's why my sister and I were talking to her recently. And I said, you're not gonna go down your deathbed without sharing something.
I wasn't saying that. I told
Tonight's other dish is the ban xiao, a Vietnamese crepe.
We've chosen this dish for you to try because it represents the simplicity of Vietnamese cooking. Because it's a nostalgic dish, and I think everybody has that dish that brings them back to their childhood or brings them back to their culture. And then you'll have with the fresh greens, the lettuce, mint, cilantro, then of course the pickled carrots and the daikon, and then you get the fish sauce.
I've always grown up with knowing that Vietnamese culture was so significant in Houston, especially in this neighborhood, the Vietnamese community here in Midtown. So I can't distinguish between some Vietnamese dishes and some classic Gulf Coast dishes.
That's a great thing about cooking, right? We're all influenced by different cultures. And you, obviously you have that in your restaurants where you're able to infuse the different, you know, ethnic backgrounds that are here, and it's great. So same thing with us.
It's so funny that as I sit here and as we sit here with food and I look at all this, is how much I was influenced by this restaurant specifically. Well, thank you guys so much.
No, thank you so much. It's such a treat to have you here.
I look forward to the night when you guys text me and come in for dinner.
I want to cook for you. Can we get you some index cards? Can you start writing down some of these recipes, please? Please.
Yes.
Please write these down. So
let's hope Mai does write down those recipes for the sake of Houston's culture and history. James the historian and Chris the chef would both celebrate that for different reasons. One to mark the impact on the city's heritage, and the other to imagine new ways to change its culinary future. It's all just a day in the life of a city where the classics, and how they're reinvented, are the constants. That's it for this episode of The Special. In fact, Houston is the last of our six cities in this podcast series. If you missed any of the earlier episodes, be sure to check out our other stops in Seattle, LA, Minneapolis, Philadelphia, and Greenville, South Carolina. You can find all six episodes on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. BMW's first ever X7 inspired The Special by bringing together two expert storytellers, the New York Times T-Brand Studio and The Infatuation. Together, we examine culture and food in a way that only we can. Visit www.bmwusa.com/X7 to learn more or schedule a test drive. I'm Minya Oh, also known as Miss Info. Thank you for joining me here on The Special. I hope you enjoyed the ride.